My Life in Christ, starting page 63. Do not be despondent when fighting against the incorporeal enemy, but even in the midst of your afflictions and oppressions, praise the Lord, who has found you worthy to suffer for him. By struggling against the subtlety of the serpent and to be wounded for him at every hour. For had you not lived piously and endeavored to become united to God, the enemy would not have attacked and tormented you. Glory to thee, Savior, almighty power. Glory to thee, Savior, omnipresent power. Glory to thee, fount of mercies. Glory to thee, ever open hearing, ever ready to hear my prayers, accursed as I am, in order to have mercy upon me and to save me from my sins. Glory to thee, to thy brightest eyes, looking lovingly upon me and penetrating into all my secrets. Glory to thee, glory to thee, glory to thee, sweetest Jesus, my Savior. Hearty faith is indispensable for man because the light of our intellect is very limited and cannot contain much mental light, while the Lord, our God, is infinite light and the world is an abyss of his omnipotence and wisdom, while it's in us there is only, so to say, a drop of his power and wisdom, because only so much and not more can be contained of them in our perishable flesh. The earth is hard and inert, thought it revolves very fast around the sun. Water is liquid and rapid. Therefore, people say a current is rapid, air is still more liquid and more rarefied and more rapid, and therefore it moves very quickly, as for instance in the case of winds. Light is still more ethereal, more rapid, and in 1 second it travels over incredibly great distances. If light is so ethereal and traverses immense spaces in the shortest possible time, then what must be created spirit be, and how ethereal and rapid must it be? Finally, what must the uncreated spirit be, the Lord himself? How immeasurably must he be? If light in 1 second moves with such awful rapidity, then how rapidly must the uncreated light, the source of all light and of everything created, move in intelligent created spirits? Finally, how must the light which created everything embrace all his creatures, all the multitudes of worlds? Glory to thee, the light immaterial and uncreated, which lighteneth every man that cometh into the world. Most men not only bear Satan's burden willingly in their hearts, but they become so accustomed to it that they often do not feel it, and even unperceptibly increase it. Sometimes, however, the evil enemy increases his burden tenfold, and then they become terribly despondent and faint-hearted. They murmur and blaspheme God's name. The usual means that men of our time take to drive away their anguish are entertainments, cards, dancing, and theaters. But such means afterwards increase still more the anguish and weariness of their hearts. If happily they turn to God, then the burden is removed from their heart, and they clearly see that previously the heaviest burden was lying on their heart through frequently though frequently they did not feel it. Oh, how many men there are who have forsaken God, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no living water. Men have very much such broken cisterns. Nearly everybody has his own. The broken cisterns are our hearts, our passions. When you see faults and passions in your neighbors, pray for him. Pray for everybody, even for your enemy. If you see that your brother is proud and stubborn and behaves proudly either to you or others, pray for him, that God may enlighten his mind and warm his heart with the fire of his grace, and say, Lord, teach meekness and humility to thy servant who has fallen into Satan's pride, and drive from his heart the darkness and burdens of the evil one's pride. If you see a wrathful brother, pray thus, Lord, make this servant of thine good through thy grace. If a mercenary and greedy one, pray thus, Lord, thou who art our incorruptible treasury and inexhaustible riches, grant that this servant of thine, created according to thy image, may recognize and the deceitfulness of riches, and that, like all earthly things, they are vain, fleeting, delusive. But the days of men are like grass, or like the spider's web, and out alone art our riches, peace, and joy. If you see an envious man, pray thus, Lord, enlighten the mind and the heart of this thy servant, that he may recognize the great, innumerable, and unsearchable gifts which he has received through thy boundless generosity. For in the blindness of his passion he has forgotten thee and thy rich gifts. And although enriched with thy benefits, yet he reckons himself poor and looks envious upon the blessings which thou, O our unspeakable benefactor, hast bestowed upon each one of thy servants, even against their own will, but in accordance with thy purpose. Take away, most gracious Master, the devil's veil from the eyes of the heart of thy servant. Grant him contrition of heart, tears of repentance and gratitude, so that the enemy who has ensnared him alive in his toils may not rejoice over him and may not wrest him from thy hands. If you see a drunken man, say in your heart, Lord, look mercifully upon thy servant, allured by the flattery of the belly and by the carnal merriment. Make him understand the sweetness of temperance and fasting, and of the fruit of the Spirit arising therefrom. When you see a man passionately fond of eating and finding all his happiness in this, say, Lord, thou art our sweetest food, and never perishes, but lead us into life eternal. Purify thy servant from the filthiness of gluttony, so carnal and so far from thy Spirit, and grant that he may know the sweetness of thy life-giving spiritual food, which is thy flesh and blood, and thy holy living and acting word. In this or in similar matter, pray for all who sin, and do not dare to despise anyone for his sin, nor be vindictive as through this you would only aggravate the wounds of those who sin, but rather correct them by means of such advice, threats, and punishments as may tend to stop or restrain the evil within the limits of moderation. From the action of our heart, of two antagonistic forces, one of which firmly resists the other, and forcibly and cunningly invades our heart, always slaying it, whilst the other is chastely offended at every impurity, and quietly withdraws itself from the slightest impurity, and when it works in us, appears, rejoices, vivifies, and delights our heart, that is, from the two individual antagonistic forces, it is easy to be convinced that both undoubtedly exist. The devil is a constant destroyer of men, and Christ is the constant life-giver and savior. One is darkness and death, the other light and life. Therefore, if you who love God, if you sometimes notice in your mind and heart extreme darkness, affliction and grief, contradiction, contraction and unbelief as a force strongly opposing facing God, then know that the power inimical to Christ, the devil, is within you. This is the dark and destroying power which, having stolen into your heart through any sin, often prevents your calling upon Christ and the saints, hiding them from you behind the mists of unbelief. Wherefore, in order to torment us, because faith saves us from his snares, but it is just this which proves the existence of the opposing sovereign power of God, the Christ, which the devil keeps us from by the abomination of unbelief, and vaults which can alone vanquish by means of our faith the evil force and keep it in everlasting chains under darkness into judgment of the great day. Therefore, it is necessary to make every effort to call upon Christ the Savior with perfect faith. It is indispensably for every Christian to acquire the habit of turning quickly to God in prayer about everything. In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. In everything, give thanks, joining your thanksgiving to praises, after the example of the angels, exclaiming, Alleluia. The greatest giver of God, which we mostly need, and which we very often obtain from God through our prayers, is peace and rest of heart. As the Lord himself says, Come unto me, O ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Therefore, having obtained this rest, rejoice and consider yourself as rich and possessing all things. Let everybody remember constantly that he is God's soul and body, and that he depends on God for all his spiritual and bodily wants every moment of his life, and therefore let him turn to God every time that he feels a want of anything, either for the soul or for the body. When, for instance, he is oppressed in the body or soul, that is, when he is stricken by sorrows, spiritual sickness, or by passions, bodily sickness, also when he is threatened by the inconstancy of the elements of fire, water, air, storm. Likewise, when he is about to undertake anything, let him then remember the author of all things, who created everything from nothing, and who has bestowed various powers upon his creatures, so that they may accomplish many and various works. Every good thought presupposes the existence within us of a good and higher origin, instructing our soul in holiness. This is evident because it seems as if everything good were somehow hidden in us, and that we endeavor in vain to introduce into our heart that which was its former inheritance. How true are the words of the apostles, What hast thou that thou didst not receive? Every good sought all natural gifts. Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? We notice in ourselves the struggle between faith and unbelief, between the good power and the evil one, in the world, between the spirit of the church and the spirit of the world. There, through the Spirit, you will distinguish two clearly antagonistic sides, the one of light and the side of darkness, a good and evil, the spirit of church and of religion, and the spirit of worldliness and unbelief. Do you know why it is so? it is owing to the struggle of two antagonistic forces, of the power of God and power of the devil, the Lord works in the sons who are obedient to him, and the devil in sons of disobedience, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. And I too often feel within me the struggle of the same two antagonistic forces. When I stand up to pray, the evil force sometimes painfully oppresses and weighs down my heart so that it cannot raise itself to God. The surer and stronger are the means that unite us to God, prayer and repentance, the more destructive are the actions brought to bear against them by God's opponent and ours, who makes us of every means, use of every means to attain this end. Our body, so inclined to laziness, the weakness of our soul, its attachment to earthly goods and cares, doubt, so near to everyone, incredulity, unbelief, impure, evil, and blasphemous thoughts, the oppression of the heart, the darkening of the mind, all these are brought to bear against the inattentive through the action of the enemy in order to put a stumbling block in the way of their prayer on the ladder that leads us up to God. This is the reason why so few pray sincerely and heartily. This is the reason why Christians so very seldom prepare themselves for Holy Communion, so seldom confess and receive mysteries. Our strength, our soul, is invisible. The soul of animals is also invisible. In plants also, their strength, their life is invisible. The whole material world exists and is moved by an invisible power, by the laws of nature. In the highest region, there are the heavenly powers, pure and free from everything material. Everything heavenly and earthly, the highest and the lowest, lead up to a single almighty power. Which has produced every power in heaven and on the earth. Thus let every power praise the one, only one power in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and let all the earth-born creatures praise it, especially through the all-binding power of love, everywhere diffusing life and blessedness. For a long time, I did not clearly understand how necessary it is that our soul should be strengthened by the Holy Spirit. But now the most gracious Lord has granted to me to know how indispensable this is. Yes, it is necessary every moment of our life, just as breathing is. It is necessary during prayer and throughout the whole of our life. Unless he strengthens our soul, it is constantly inclined to every sin and therefore to spiritual death. It becomes enfeebled, loses all power through the evil that enters into the heart and incapable of any good. Without the strengthening of the Holy Spirit, one feels how the heart is undermined by various evils and is ready to sink every moment into their abyss. Then it is that our heart must stand firm as upon a rock, and this rock is the Holy Spirit. He strengthens our powers, and when a man prays, he strengthens his heart by faith and by the hope of receiving that which he prays for. He inflames the soul with love to God. He fills the soul with bright, good thoughts, strengthening the mind and heart. And if a man has any work to accomplish, he strengthens his heart by the conviction of the importance and of necessity of his labor, and by an invincible patience which overcomes all difficulties. He inspires in the man in his intercourse with people of various positions and of both sexes, respect for the human person who is made after God's image, whoever it may be, and is redeemed by the blood of Christ the Lord, and makes him disregard this sometimes very unsightly outer appearance of another man's body and dress, and well as his roughness of speech and manners. It is the Holy Spirit who unites us all through love as the children of the same Heavenly Father, and in Jesus Christ teaches us to pray, Our Father which art in heaven. Imagine that you see the inaccessible light from which the light of the sun, the moon, and the stars proceed, that you see the infinite love which sent into the world its only begotten Son to save the world from eternal torment, that you see the primeval beauty from which are derived all the variety of beauty existing in the world, the variety and beauty of the plants, stones, shells, fishes, birds, beasts, and all human beauty. Imagine that you see the Creator of heaven and earth, loving, resplendent with the inaccessible light of His perfection. What will you then feel? And the Christian faith prepares us all for this vision. Observe the plants. In them are evident, one, the wonderful wisdom appearing in every part of the plant, two, the life-giving power strengthening and maintaining every part of the plant in its proper condition, and three, the omnipresence by which the eternal wisdom changes the aspect of formless matter so easily, making it answer his everlasting intentions and purposes. But thou, Lord, art most high forever and evermore. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. In the same manner as objects situated at a great distance off on the earth, though they may be large, are quite invisible from afar if the sun is not reflected in them, whilst even small ones are visible a long way off if the sun is reflected in them. So it is also amongst men. Those in whom the eternal Son of the righteousness God is not reflected in his perfection are only noticeable when quite near by a few, very few. But if the Son of the righteousness is reflected in them, then they are seen by all from a very great distance. They are glorified by all. They are people of all places and of all times, the saints. Some of them shine like the sun, others like the moon, and others like the stars. Glory be to God.